Mrs. Dunkley's name in my sleep. But Mrs. Dunkley also taught grammar and syntax. She drew up meticulous columns on the board and taught us parts of speech, parsing, analysis. She was the person who put into my head a delight in the way English works and into my hands the tools for the job. I left school and never saw her again. Naturally, she died. 10 years ago, I had a dream about her. In the dream, I walked along the veranda off which the Hermitage staff room opened and looked in through the glass of the big French doors. I saw Mrs. Dunkley moving across the room as if underwater, but instead of her grim black 40s suit, she was dressed in a glorious soft buckskin jacket of many colours. As she moved, colour streamed off her into the air in ribbons and garlands, so that she drew along behind her a dense, smudged rainbow trail. It's only now, writing this, that I make the connection between Mrs. Dunkley and my favourite character in all fiction, namely the fairy Blackstick in Thackeray's The Rose and the Ring, who came to the christening of a certain baby princess and said over the cradle, "As for this little lady, the best thing I can wish for her is a little misfortune." In the mid-60s, when I crawled out of Melbourne University with a hangover and a very mediocre honours degree in English and French, any dingbat with letters after her name could get a job as a high school teacher. You didn't even need a dip ed, they were so desperate. One summer morning, I bowled up to the education department in Treasury Place and presented my meagre qualifications to the lady on the front desk. She gave them a cursory glance and pointed to a large map of Victoria, which hung on the wall behind her. "What do you want?" she said wearily. "Werribee or witchy-proof?" All I knew about witchy-proof in northwestern Victoria was that the railway line ran down the middle of the main street. I chose Werribee, thus forfeiting my chance to live and work in the Mallee, the region my father comes from. My enjoyable but less than brilliant career in teaching lasted on and off for about 7 years and ended in ignominy, as one of the stories in this book relates. To this day, chalkies of both sexes approach me with a grin in public places and say, "You owe me a day's pay. I went out on strike for you in 1973. It was a great stir, and I'm happy about the support. But after wasting a lot of perfectly good time in regret and martyrdom, I was obliged to acknowledge that getting the sack was the best thing that could have happened to me. It forced me to start writing for a living. I worked for, or more correctly, I was part of the collective that produced the counterculture magazine The Digger for a couple of years in the early 70s. Then I caught hepatitis. I went home and got into bed and stayed there, expertly cared for by my housemates, for weeks. I read War and Peace. Somebody brought me the stories of the Russian writer Isaac Babel. When I read, in Lionel Trilling's introduction, that Babel's work had got him offside with the Soviet authorities because it hinted that one might live in doubt, that one might live by means of a question, I put down the book and howled. Maybe it was just the gloom that goes with hepatitis, but more likely it was because till that moment I had never admitted to myself how ill at ease I was writing for a paper like The Digger. Only one story I wrote for it has made it into this collection. Things I wrote then felt false to me. I was bluffing. I secretly knew myself to be hopelessly bourgeois. I was also greatly taken by Babel's statement that there is no iron that can enter the human heart with such stupefying effect as a full stop placed at exactly the right point. This, of course, was Mrs. Dunkley's territory, though I failed to realise it at the time, and though she would not have expressed herself so stylishly. Years later, I was reminded that I ought to keep a lid on my passion for punctuation when I bragged to my friend Tim Winton that I had just written a 200-word paragraph consisting of a single syntactically perfect sentence. He scorched me with a surfer's stare and said I couldn't care less about that sort of shit. When I got over the hep, I rode my bike down to Silvertop in Rathdown Street and applied for a taxi licence. But before I could do the test, a communist friend pointed out to me the existence of the supporting mother's benefit and my eligibility for it as a separated mother of a small child.